Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning. We're so glad to be here. We enjoyed last weekend. We were not goofing off. We were working 44 straight hours. Well, we did sleep in between there. And we had the opportunity to be with 15 couples being involved in marriage encounters. So thank you for releasing us. And thank you, Pastor Steve, for sharing This Is My Story. Yeah. I've had the opportunity to hear the bits and pieces and to see it all stitched together, a powerful story of God's grace, and we're just so grateful. Everything went on well while we were gone. We could rest easy. I want to say we miss you, Sanders. I think you're watching online, but I think they're out camping. And so they're gone this weekend, so we're without. And so thank you, Greg, for filling in. Thank you, Gina Yant. Thank you, Gina Yant. It's neat the connections that God gives us in life, and we've been connected with Gina through Lake Country Christian Schools. And when I substitute teach, I would see her kids in class. And now one of them's here. Kayla's here. Would you welcome her as well? Kayla's here this morning. And your son's Dylan. Is that correct? We used to live on Dylan, so it always helped me to remember his name. It's spelled different, but it sounds the same. I think it's D-Y-L-A-N, if I remember the attendance list correctly. Okay, and I think there were times that I brought my kids over to your house to go ride to school with you when we lived in River Oaks. And so it's neat along the journey and then have people with a great talent like Gina does with keyboards, and she's worked with Lake Country Christian Schools and various churches that we know. And so when we knew that the Sanders were going to be gone, we kind of got on her horizon and said, hey, is there any way? And so we're just so glad that you're with us this morning. We're glad you're our guest this morning. And you're welcome to come back anytime. And here's, this is going to sound harsh, whether you're needed or not. Yeah, I'm thinking there's probably a better way to say that. And so send your emails to that effect to info@visionchurch.ag, and I'm sure we'll hear from you. So we all know we're kidding. And so here we are this morning. And I wanted to at least have an opportunity to greet you. I want to let you know that you've seen some things posted around. You might be wondering, what is that? It says compelled. We're going to have some new posters hanging up in here. We're going to set up the tables. And if we set up all of the tables, everybody that we have normally here during COVID-19 can all sit no more than four at a table. So you can still face the front, be at a table, and prepare for a meal. And we're working through the procedures of how that will look. We're going to have that catered. It'll be safe and clean and everything. And we are going to be getting ready for our annual missions convention. During all of this, how many of you know the preaching is still going on around the world? There's a challenge, but it's still going on. And our missionaries still need to be supported. And I was just thanking the Lord this morning as I was walking through here and praying over this morning's service and preparing my heart before the Lord and just thanking Him. And saying, thank you, Lord, you have made provision through a people who tithe faithfully and give above and beyond to missions. And so that I've not had to have communication with one missionary and say, we're sorry, but we can't do that this year. I've not had to do that. And so we want to thank the Lord, don't we? Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap? And so we're going to be maybe doing a little bit different. It's possible we might have our district missions coordinator and assistant superintendent in. That's a little premature. He may or may not be able to do that. But we can use the marvel of technology and being able to pre-record interviews with the different missionaries so that we can enjoy this, see what is going on, and hear reports from our missionaries, and use our technology and have a time of fellowship together at a safe distance and make sure that we prepare our heart for 2021. Because if Jesus doesn't come back in 2021, whenever that is, He needs to find us engaged in the harvest and loving those that He loves and caring for those that He cares for and making sure that the gospel can get into all or to the ends of the earth. Last year's theme. Because He says, this gospel shall be preached in all nations as a witness, and then, what? The end. And after that, if you read the book of Revelation and go all the way to the last chapter, happily ever after. But there's some stuff that yet is to be written out in front of us. And remember, here's the segue. God is writing a story, and we have an opportunity to be a part of His story, and we do so by allowing Him to lead us and direct us in writing my story. Everybody say, my story. God is, you're still alive and breathing, right? If you're not sure, just go, see if you can feel some warmth there, right about 98 or 97.6 degrees. Now, I still am living, and as that is going on, I have a God in heaven whom I believe and I'm connected to through Jesus Christ, His Son, and by the power of His Spirit, what is He doing with His grace? He is writing my story that might be read and enjoyed by other people. And so the Lord is continuing to prepare our heart. The big picture is here, we're going to get better at telling our story. And thank you, Pastor Cindy, for hearing from the Lord this morning about having a burden to pray for our neighbors, because this is preparing us as a congregation to be more engaged in the harvest than we ever had, and that we're going to discover the power of my story by the power of the Holy Spirit is going to impact other people's lives no matter how plain vanilla it is. Now, on that note, how many of you enjoy ice cream? How many of your favorite ice cream is vanilla? See, the numbers dropped off. I know that everybody in here enjoys ice cream, and whether you're allowed to have it or not, that's a whole other story. But when it comes to your favorite flavor, homemade vanilla. But you know what? There's a whole lot of other flavors in that case. Every time I walk down that aisle at Walmart, and it gets longer, and there's more selection. And as you look by that, here's what it tells you. There's a whole lot of flavors in there, because there's a whole lot of different flavors that people have. And so I have good news for you. You are a flavor that somebody thinks is their favorite. This isn't Valentine's Day either, but you can steal that and put it on your Valentine's card if you like. Some people, like me, love plain vanilla. Others need a little chocolate. Some of it has to be a little nutty. Right? Some of you say, hey, that's my flavor. My flavor's nutty. So whatever your flavor is and whatever God is doing in your life, there's somebody near you that you need to discover that He can flow through your life and begin to challenge them about their story and seeing if they're going to allow the master author come in and shape that story. So without any further ado, we just need to prepare our hearts. Remember, we're going somewhere with this. Because as we go into 2021, we're going to be more of a personal evangelism church than we have ever been in the time that I've been here. And so the change is coming. Everybody say, change is coming. Get ready. Get ready. Because He's writing His story, and He's going to write His story through you, and you're going to share your story, and it's going to change someone else's story. So with that, let's put our attention up here, and through the miracles of technology, let's hear our next story.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting chapter of This Is My Story, and today we have an opportunity to someone else in our congregation to tell their story, and we're going to hear in just a second from Barry and Karen Bentel. We have some trail that we've driven together before. We go all the way back close to kindergarten, I think, with your granddaughter, who's the same age as our daughter. I don't know how that works out, because this child bride stuff, I don't know how it all works out in arranged marriages. But anyway, because we're birthday twins.
Yes, we are.
Exactly. The same day, the same year. And we still haven't calculated.
Except your mom thinks you were in the morning. My mom says I was the afternoon.
Which makes me older.
Pretty sure you're older.
Okay, she's pretty sure I'm older. Yeah. And so we wanted to just take the next 30 minutes and hear about your story. Some of your story I've heard little bits and pieces. I suspect that some of your story I have not heard. Maybe Tasha's heard some stuff that I haven't heard. And certainly most of the congregation, if not all the congregation, doesn't really know Barry and Karen's story. And that would be a shame that they wouldn't know that, because I think it's a powerful example of God's grace. And so we're excited to hear and bring that all out. So we're glad. Thank you for coming and opening your heart and taking some time to do this.
Thank you.
It's a great gift, and we receive it as a gift. So we're just going to go ahead and start right off and have you just think about your overall family and your family history. And then think about, you know, were you raised in church? Were you raised with a little bit of church? Were you Christers, Christmas and Easter only? Or, you know, faithful attendance? Where did that kind of all work out? Because everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we just want to kind of hear where you came from. We know we're suspecting you were born, about when you were born, and
that's
about
right.
Where you were born.
Here in Fort Worth.
But there's a whole lot of details we don't know yet. So just kind of take us into the story and talk to us about your overall family history.
Okay. I would say it's definitely not religious, although I would say godly, if that makes any difference. Growing up, my mom and dad didn't ever like each other. And to explain that, my mom grew up Catholic and my dad was Baptist. So, but, there was not really any, Bible open. There was no Jesus taught.
Is that how they negotiated the peace? To just not do anything? One is a Baptist, one's a Catholic. That
no,
often happens.
Every once in a while we'd go to church.
Okay.
So yeah, every so often, and I don't know what the pattern was, to tell you the truth. I know we visited Methodist churches, Baptist churches, no Catholics. So. but it wasn't a regular Sunday attendance or even a weekly thought, but sometimes we would. And having a lot of uncles in the family, I mean, I was always taught, you know, it was hard work and honesty, diligence. That's what God was about.
Yeah. Okay. So very works oriented type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Karen, what about you as far as your family? How were you raised?
So we were, I would say we weren't religious. I think we were a godly family. We were taught very strongly, strong morals. My parents didn't go to church a lot. They took us to church. They went Christmas, Easter, you know, kind of remember Mother's Day and occasionally, but they did always get us up on Sundays and take us to Sunday school and church and then come back and get us. But I think that kind of, as a child growing up, and we did marry kind of young, so when we marry, I was like, oh.
Child bride.
Church is for children.
Yeah.
And in my head, it kind of was for children, so then when we got married, it was like, oh, well, we don't have to do that anymore.
Taking grandma.
Right? So we just didn't ever step back into it for... until our older two boys got in their maybe just preteen years when we started thinking, oh, there's something not right, we're missing something, and they're missing something.
Yeah.
You know?
Anybody that gets into the teenagers knows that they need the Lord.
Yeah. Or something.
When their kids get into the teenage years.
Yes, there's something fundamentally missing in our family. And then we started trying to go to church, and then it was very difficult. Mm. You know, it was difficult to get the boys to go. It was, you know, they wore those really weird JNCOs. Were they called JNCOs?
JNCOs.
JNCO jeans,
JNCOs,
which I couldn't
JNCOs.
Stand. But you know, and honestly, both the churches we went to, the people did not like those pants, and they did not, you know, really, welcome. We weren't really as welcomed as what we thought we should have been, right? Mm. I mean, we're trying to step out and do something right now,
And so you felt some friction because you weren't conforming to a dress code.
Exactly.
It's important to hear that, because we don't realize some of the things we expect of people that get confused for. I think people being decently clothed, moderately clothed good with modesty. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people have gotten the image and the idea we've got to dress a certain way
right
in order to be accepted.
Or even look a certain way. you know, with your hair or different things. And
It's
important to make people feel welcome.
It's true. So that's what we learned. I mean, and then obviously Jack came along about 13 years after the second one, and by then we were already, you know, regularly attending church, and he grew up more in the church, and I mean, just the difference.
So and what made you decide to kind of stick it out if you were kind of feeling that friction a little bit?
I think it was just for me, it was just the understanding that we'd missed out and we had to find a way to get back in.
Okay.
Right. We had to find a way to get right.
Okay. So, Barry, we're going to kind of shift to you because we're going to talk about describing when you first heard the basic gospel message, because you had certainly been raised with, for a long time, American values or hard work ethic values or even Judeo-Christian ethics were a part of the American experience. That was Americana. But people thought basically this way: I'm an American, therefore I'm a Christian. The Gallup polls in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, wow.
And they would ask people if they were a Christian. Yes, what makes you say that? This is America, isn't it? That's what you are if you're in America.
Yeah, it's true.
So now we're talking about the essential and basic gospel message. When did you first hear that?
Well, I was 14, actually. So we were actually, we'd visited a Baptist church, and I had a friend that went there. So I had a connection. He went to high school with, junior high school. And they were having a week of evangelist week. What am I saying? Trying to say?
Revival.
A revival.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're having a revival that week. And it was Wilkerson, I think.
David Wilkerson?
Yeah.
Wilkerson?
David Wilkerson. But he wasn't there, but it was, I know his books were there, and they were talking about that. I remember it was McDonald that was doing the preaching. The preacher wasn't doing the preaching. It was David McDonald, which was somebody totally different. Never seen him before again. But I was overcome that night. I knew it without a shadow of doubt that God wanted more out of me, and that this is it. This is what it's about. And so I wanted to find out more. And you know, there was nothing at home for me to find out about. I was baptized. We talked about that. So that next Sunday, I was baptized. And then, I take that back. The revival, it was Sunday when I knew I was saved, and I got a Bible. And I was so excited, I took that Bible to school the next day.
You were allowed then?
Yeah.
Take the Bible to school.
We're allowed back then.
That was a bad choice.
Uh-oh.
It was a bad choice?
That was a bad choice. Yeah. I was ridiculed, and it was horrible. Yeah. I was excited about this, and I was showing, and it was, I never did it again. And I put that Bible away and never, couldn't talk about it at home. That was something. But anyway, I was baptized that following weekend, and Grady, my friend, you know, we kind of went that church, but I didn't know what to do about that. I didn't know how to express that. Mm. And
so here you were. You were born again, baptized in water. Right after you were born again, you take the Bible to school, get pushback. And Jesus said persecution arises because of the word. So you got a bad dose,
literal.
I don't know how you want to describe that,
of
persecution because of the word, you know, being criticized, mocked, beat up, bullied, whatever.
Yeah.
And so you don't have a critical thing called discipleship.
Right.
Right.
Where somebody says, look, okay, now you've made a decision for Christ. Now you do realize now that you're going to get pushback. You're going to get rejected, so on. You didn't have any of that coaching going on.
No.
Mom and dad had married a Catholic and a Baptist, and their truth seems to be go to a couple different churches, but don't get too serious about it, because that's going to expose the difference in our relationship and make that even worse. And so.
Yeah, they were just waiting until graduation, and they're gone. They're split up. That was their
So the clock was ticking.
We knew that.
Yeah, the clock was ticking. When you boys are graduated from high school, this is what's going to happen.
So it was just a few short years later.
So at 14, married. You're born again. What age are you when you get married?
18 or 19?
You were 19.
Just turned 19 because we got married in August.
Yeah.
And what I wanted more than anything is to have a family where I knew what I wanted that I didn't have, a father. I wanted to have sons.
You're welcome.
Three.
And I wanted to be that I didn't have and do certain things. I already had it all mapped out. But that's kind of what I brought into the marriage. I knew I wanted to love this girl more than anything else. But I didn't know how. I had my version. I knew. I thought I knew.
Yeah.
But retrospectively, you know, it eventually wore out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had a plan. You had an idea. But after a while, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, I think Steinbeck said that. Scripture said there's a way that seems right to a man.
Right.
But the end thereof is a way of death. Another way of saying it doesn't work.
Right.
We each go on our, like sheep, we go astray. Each one turns to his
own
way. Mm-hmm. Because there wasn't a revelation or a judge in those days, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And so you had the intention to do right. You had the intention to walk out what it meant to be a believer, and you had an intention what it meant to be a father, a husband, and all that.
I knew what it was not to be one.
Ah, okay.
I would wake up at night seeing fights and things thrown through the kitchen and, you know. And then, you know, my dad would work and come home on weekends, and that's when you'd get whooped, was on weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it was very dysfunctional. It's not that way today as an adult. Mm-hmm. And things started changing, you know, as we got older in life with my relationship with my parents. It's great today.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So now we have two people who have come from an understanding of God, some understanding of religion. You were born again. I'm assuming at some point in there, were you born again before married?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're born again. And so now you're going to put together a Christian marriage.
Yes.
And we're going to do this thing. So in the middle of that marriage, what kind of challenges did you find yourself get in the middle of?
I don't think we had that much time.
Just give us the thumbnail sketch.
We have totally different stories about that, it's one of those he said, she said moments in our lives.
Ladies first, so we want to hear the she said.
I'm sure it's perspective.
I'm sure it's perspective. So I don't even think we were, you know, you can get so busy with life, you don't even realize you're having problems until you're really having problems. So for some reason, when Jack was 2 and the boys were 15, 16, we decided to move out to Granbury from Arlington, where we had a network of people and things that we knew and everything. We moved out to kind of the country, and it was kind of funny because a lot of things happened when we were doing this move, and we actually were talking about, is this really, you know, God putting up obstacles to tell us not to move, or is this, you know, him just saying, yes, we want you to do this, you should persevere. We really didn't know enough to be able to discern that. You know, in hindsight, we could have saved probably a whole lot of heartache had we had that discernment at that time, right? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So fast forward about 3 years, and we have just about met our end, I think. So, I mean, we had one son going off completely off the rails, and in my mind, it was his fault. He wasn't fixing it. That was his job. He was supposed to fix it, make it right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't right. So, we actually split up for a while, and I mean, by the grace of God, found an absolutely great Christian counselor who actually helped us to see, you know, helped me to see particularly what's my part of that. And then while I'm doing this on this side, he's having a whole nother experience because we did this weird house share thing. You know, I stayed so many days a week and then with my parents, and he stayed so many days a week and then with his parents. So the boys never had to leave the house. Right. And one of these times when the boys and I were gone and he was home, he had another moment which kind of changed the course of our separation. That'd be true?
Yeah.
I'll let you have that one.
So we moved to Granbury. We were trying to go to the church there in Arlington. And
got a little involved there. But.
Tried to, but there again, we thought it was just for the kids. wow. Let me start. So we moved to Granbury and a long distance travel to work and everything. All that changes. And we do get further and further apart. But during the time that we were apart, I was just in self-pity. You know, it was just all about me, and I was upset. I couldn't believe this was happening, and back and forth, you know. And then one night, and Jack wasn't there, so I'm not sure. It was just me. I guess God arranged that. I was playing my Elvis gospel. I think it was a cassette then.
God works in mysterious ways.
Was it there'll be peace in the valley? No, go ahead.
Yeah, there was no peace. No.
Well, he needed it. That's why maybe yeah.
I know
him about it.
True.
Certain.
But it was late one night, and so I started just calling out for him, and I just didn't know what I was doing. And what do I do? I don't understand. And where I'm at, and I love this person. And how come this is happening? You know, I couldn't even see through my own junk. You know, I was just, the water burst in the hallway. And I had to go get that cut off, and I'm scrambling, and something else, something fell off the wall in the bedroom. And I just hit the floor on my knees, and I'm crying. I said, "What do you want, Lord? What is going on?" And it was like he just slapped me upside the head. It was like night and day that I could hear him saying, "This is it. If this is what you want, if you want to do it your way, then this is it. This is all you have." And I just crying. I said, "No, I don't want it this way." He said, "Then you have to follow me. If it's my way." I said, "Well, what is that? How do I follow you?" and that was about it. It was just a horrible evening. And the next day, my dad had called and said he had a book for me because he had been changing during the same time. And he was going up to Copeland's place. And anyway, he had a book for me for building the wall, Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And I started reading that, and one thing led to another, and that's when I started listening to the radio. I found the Dennis Rainey and Dr. David Jeremiah and Swindoll, and okay. I started getting cassette tapes on how to.
For those of you who aren't aware, cassette tapes are about this big, and they have two holes in them, and you. Anyway, it's a magnetic tape stretched, and they were famous for breaking.
Yes.
And then
there was ways to fix.
And then have to pull them apart or tape it back together.
Get that pencil.
And use a pencil to spin it so that it right. started right there at the after all of the minute and a half of leader material that was on it. Anyway,
right.
that I digress. I just chewed up about 15 seconds, but I wanted to buy you a little breather there.
Yeah, I know I've
You're listening
some stuff.
On cassettes.
But, like she said, we were going back and forth, and I even went one day to her dad and went to his house and talked to him and was pleading to him and says, "I don't know what to do," you know, and he didn't really know either. It upset him too, I think.
Yeah.
And that made me feel even worse. I got into a men's group. That was a first, and that was just really revealing. And I know it's just really common stuff for everybody that's watching and at the church, you know, it grew up in the church, you know, but actually to be around some of the men and be able to talk about stuff that I thought was kind of difficult to talk about, that you don't talk about. I grew up that you don't ever say anything, right?
Right. And just tough it out.
Yeah.
Or everybody knows this, or it's just natural.
And that kind of got us, too, because that's what we would do together. We wouldn't tell anybody what was going on. And that,
oh, yeah.
That, retrospectively, that made it worse.
Right.
So talking with these guys and learning a little bit there helped. And I to save some time, I mean, I finally came to the point where I was actually had what I thought a good relationship with God finally. And the first time I really felt like I did, that I actually knew him. And that was just exciting. But nothing was improving, and I kept praying, and during this process, God, you know, when he slapped me upside the head that night, he said, it's not about her either. What do you mean? It's not about Karen. No, it's about me. All about me. So I had to really switch my brain to make it all about God, all about Jesus. And that was different too, because I was really wanting. I had put her up on too far of a pedestal,
mm-hmm.
and that's wrong.
So now it's idolatry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's. And I finally got to the point. God said, "Now you just have to release her. Let her go." Mm-hmm. What? So. That took a bit, but I said, yes, Lord, okay. And then I remember praying to be able to just, okay, I release her to you and whatever you say, you know. But I love this person.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was really soon after that. I think she called or whatever and said, let's go on a date. Really?
See, I remember you called me that.
Okay, I called you.
So this would be a great time to switch over to Karen and hear the other side of the ledger there. What was going on?
So I actually was kind of weirdly content. I didn't have the very pressure, you know, I felt like, you know, having to keep him happy all the time. So I was actually fairly content, and I was prepared to go off on my own at this point. And probably in that same time when he was hearing from God, I was at work on a Saturday, and this was my angel encounter. So it was a Saturday. There were only, people don't typically work at my office on Saturday. So there was maybe three or four people there. And, I went out on the patio to have coffee, and it was like about 10 o'clock just to get outside for a minute. And I'm out there, and the security guard comes out there. White haired man, you know, a little heavy, super nice, had a cup of coffee. Sits down there and he's talking to me and he starts telling me about how God nudges people, you know, and, you know, he went through several scenarios of how things could happen. And it was actually things that had happened to me that I hadn't really, you know, connected to. And it was really weird because he said, you know, you really should pay attention when you get nudged. It's important.
Wow.
And, anyway, and he said, you know, and sometimes you have to work a little bit harder at things, you know? So when you get nudged, work a little bit harder. I was like, yeah, okay. Mr. Security Man. You know? And he talked for a while, and I just felt really calm while he was talking. Like, you know, it just kind of set me right. And then he kind of got up, and he walked over, and he walked in the building. And I was thinking, oh, okay. And then I got up to go in there, and I got my card to let myself in the building. And I thought, he didn't card into the building. He just walked into the building. So I went in and then I went looking for him.
How did you do that?
I went looking for him. And, you know, I talked to everybody in the building. I said, hey, where's the security guy? And they're looking at me. You know, we don't have security, Karen. I'm like, well, it's Saturday. Do we not have anybody? And they're like, nope, never had security here on Saturday. And I'm like, okay. You know, so now I'm like, okay, now I'm nudged. And so it was like within the next 24 hours when Barry called. Actually, to see about going out, because it was right around my birthday, I believe, fairly close to my birthday, and I was like, okay, is this the nudge? Am I supposed to go or not supposed to go? And, you know, I said, okay, I'm just going to go. And if it's still the same, it'll just be the last time. And it wasn't the same. I mean, there was a very basic vital change. And then that's when I really dug into figuring out how I needed to change. That was really cool, having an angel moment.
That's
what an angel moment.
Yeah.
Believe it.
When you least expect it.
He has messengers. People have entertained angels unaware.
Yeah.
And so here you are in a vital place where somebody who's born again, you're both born again, but doesn't know how to walk with the Lord, doesn't know how to develop that, doesn't understand the call to the cross, to dying, to self, finally has a hit upside the head moment, an awakening moment where the Lord's saying, Barry, this is what it's about. Not just being born again, but now dying. You're born again to die.
Yeah.
So you need to die to yourself. And part of that for you was actually dying to Karen.
Yeah.
Counting yourself dead to that so you could be alive to God. And when you got that alignment right, it sounds to me when you got it right with the Lord, that opened the door for him. And you know, folks, he will send an angel if he doesn't have somebody else. He'll send somebody else. He'll nudge somebody else. I'm convinced that if somebody won't answer, if he's got to materialize one of his messengers out of the unseen realm into the seen realm, posing as a security guard that doesn't need to code into the building,
right?
He'll do it.
Yeah.
Just kind of that little thing that's out of spot place that goes, wait a minute. Yeah. He went into the building, but he didn't use the card. That everybody has to use to get into the building. And it's him saying, I left behind a signature that said, that was me. that was an angel, a messenger from the unseen realm. And so when he releases that to the Lord takes up his cause with you.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. It was quite interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually kind of fun. I mean, you know, it was a whole different, started a whole different kind of marriage at that point.
Yeah,
like
it's almost like a born again marriage.
It really was.
A marriage that now comes in
to
your Christianity, comes into discipleship, and comes into relation. Because if you get your relationship right with the Lord,
and the exterior things didn't change. I mean, we still had some of the same issues.
You still had teenagers that were teenagers,
but we were able at that point then to come together.
We could come together.
Yeah.
You know, now we're talking about things and being able to know that we are one under him.
Yeah.
That was a whole.
Yeah, it was actually pretty amazing and quite fun sometimes.
Yeah.
What an adventure.
It was an adventure. Yeah.
And to have that unity, spiritual unity, really for the first time in your marriage.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Even though you were Christ confessing, a born again experience, baptized in water, going into marriage.
And we were actually attending church at that point pretty regularly before.
The Arlington, that's true.
When we moved to Granbury, we were going like every Sunday trying to find some sort of something, but it just didn't materialize. Yeah, literally just groping. Yeah.
Wow.
That was a good word for that.
So about when was it that this turnaround was in around November of a certain year? So about when was that?
2000.
20 years ago.
Yeah. It was.
You said Jack was 2?
Yes. Yeah, so it was. Yeah, it was 20. Right at 20 years ago.
He was born in 94.
Okay. He was a little bit older by then. And we moved to Granbury when we were 2, but it was a little bit later when that actually manifested.
Yeah, so.
Because we moved back here shortly after that. Both of the older boys had graduated and we moved back closer to town. And I said, this is not the place that we need to be. Mm. We need to be someplace else.
And then things fall into place.
Yeah, we sold our house. They told us it'd take us 6 months, and we sold it 2 days. And then we didn't have any place to go, and it was snowing. I mean, there's like 3 feet of snow on the ground, and we found this house. And we're like, yes, we'll go. Like, if you close by the end of the year, we'll give you this
but
deal.
But you thought of that other place, didn't you?
Yeah. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But it was there's a lot of firsts. You know, of the house, things in the house, things about everything about it, and then being able to, and then from there, getting favor in my work. Things started just improving across the board.
Yeah. Getting really involved in church, getting Jack in a Christian school.
The blessing of the Lord.
Yeah, that is not coincidence.
Wow, it's amazing when you align with His plan and purpose and get on board with Him.
It is awesome.
So a person can be born again and yet be missing all this because they need somebody to help them.
Yes.
Somebody to help acclimate them. Somebody to explain things. Somebody put a shoulder or arm around their shoulder and bring them along. I think that's called discipleship.
That's right.
I think that's probably why you really have a heart. For helping people, for bringing people along, because you know what it's like to be there saying, what's wrong? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, there's something else that just reminded me. I don't know if it's for anybody else, but, you know, we got the men's group, and I started being able to connect and being able to really know who I am in this issue of love. You know, guys say they love you. That's not something I ever said.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, it's difficult because it doesn't come normally. And it comes normal to a lot of people. I love you. You know, I can't, if that was really weird. It was, you know, being around people that said, I love you. And I'm thinking,
what do you mean?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Wait, I said that. I'm pretty sure I said that.
I wasn't said that as a kid. That wasn't something that was told.
Something just wasn't developed. But it can be developed, of course, in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It finally gets there.
So we can kind of round this out then.
Okay.
And kind of bring this in for landing, because we came to know you back kindergarten days, I think, with Olivia or Livy and Caitlin.
Yes.
And I tease them about, I remember when you had no teeth and then you got all your teeth back. And now she's at college and Caitlin's at college. And we've heard from her right here about mission trips, and it's been a joy to see her grow up. But we knew you at birthday parties and school events. And
sporting events.
And sporting events. Yeah. But then there came a point at which the Bentals became a part of Vision Church.
Yes.
So kind of let's fill us in on that to see if somebody can hear behind the scenes what went on there, and then we can close this out.
Okay.
So we were at a church. We were heavily involved in the church. Actually, we were deacons in the church. And we got to the point where we realized we weren't learning anything. Like, we were showing up. We were doing the work. You know, we felt like we were doing what God wanted us to do. But we weren't learning and we weren't growing. And I think y'all two had actually talked at a ball game or something, and you were studying on, was it the feast?
That's right.
You were studying on that part, and he said we'd visited 3 or 4 churches, and we came there, and you actually had just started a series on that. And
we walked out,
and he was like, "It's what I'm studying. It really is." And I was like,
"What is something about the grain offering?"
The
waving the grain offering.
The waving offering, Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost.
Yeah.
I preached you the feast, yes.
Yeah, and it was like 6 weeks or something on it. So, yeah, and he was super excited about it. And I was like, okay, well, it's in a movie theater.
Yeah, it's at a movie theater.
It didn't go really church. And then, you know, and then, of course, it became football season. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we could get popcorn after church.
That was a big draw.
And I'm like, okay, we can keep staying. Yeah, and then, you know, it was actually very quickly we figured out that this was a place we could learn.
Okay.
You know, and we could actually get, I think it took us a little bit to get acclimated.
We grew at the other church.
We did initially.
I think God had a purpose, and we really grew and was serving. But it got to that point. There was a maturity point where we wanted to learn the next bit or the more depth.
There was some depth. There were some things that you needed. Some supplement, something on the side, something that you hadn't been given.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all His work, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
I'm very thankful.
Amazing, yeah. And Livy and had Caitlin, so it was an easy transition.
Yeah.
For us at that time.
And so, serving on the missions committee and serving on the board as a trustee and serving in the church. And so it's just been really neat going out on evangelistic stuff and outreach stuff and Thanksgiving stuff and caring for people and doing all that. So they have been a great blessing to us here at Vision Church. We're so grateful that the Lord has allowed us to journey together, and that And have these people been nice to you?
Oh, yes, they have.
All right. We've made you feel welcome and loved you?
Definitely.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, and I've heard what the people have said about the Bentles, and It has just been incredible in how you have blessed them and loved on them and served them.
Wow.
And that's been a great gift to Vision Church.
Wow.
We feel awesome. Like we were gifted here, too.
Yes.
It's got to be a mutual thing. It's got to
be
a gift
mutual.
On both sides.
It,
otherwise,
it really
it's a bummer.
It is. Otherwise, it's just work, you know?
And so you just never know, Vision Church, what's going on in the background of somebody's life, where they're at. Freshly born again, need somebody to disciple them, struggling in a marriage issue, whatever it is. And the Lord can use us in some of those plain vanilla things and some of those things we don't realize the impact of it. And it ends up becoming so vital that it affects a whole family and goes to generations. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like we've heard your story. And you can say this is our story.
It is.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank
Lord
you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
How about now? There we go. Either it may have automatically turned off, so we're going to have to wrap this up quick, right? There are those of you that are watching from home and those of you that are here. You're hearing their story. How many of you knew all of that? No. Aren't you glad they shared it? Would you give them one more hand and say thank you for sharing? So sometimes we think we're just coming and doing the church thing, but there's way more to it. Opening that door, shaking somebody's hand, making eye contact, hearing from the Lord and loving on people, accepting them, receiving them, no matter how they're dressed, and always saying, we're glad you're here. We really want you to be a part of us. Come grow with us. Come develop with us. And you just never know when somebody's just born again and struggling, and they just need somebody to bring them along, to be a Barnabas, to be that person who will take them by the hand and help them. You never know where people are coming from. And you never know the simple things that are going to become bridges for them. Isn't that powerful that the Lord would send an angel to materialize somebody? And I would think 8 foot tall, huge biceps, 6-pack abs. No, kind of a dumpy gray-haired guy that would sit down beside somebody and say, and here's, I think we need to hear that word. I think that's a word from the Lord. That was a word from the Lord to Karen, but I think it's speaking to us this morning. When you get a nudge, pay attention and go ahead and do it. And that would be just a great lesson for all of us this morning, wouldn't it? When we get a nudge, we need to pay attention. The Lord may be getting our attention about something, and we need to respond, and we need to obey, and we need to step out. And then he walks back into the building without using a key card. You think he made a mistake? No. I see a twinkle in an eye. I see a wink that says, I think I'll just open the door so you'll say, hey, that's not quite the way it usually goes. And he's saying, thought I'd just leave a signature. Let you know that's not a coincidence. I'm the God in heaven, and I rule and reign in the affairs of men. And yet I invite you to come. And so for those of you that are home, and those of you might be watching this over YouTube or Facebook, and even us here, maybe the Lord is calling to you. You've never responded to that call. This is an opportunity to respond to that. Maybe you've been born again, but you're struggling, and you're in the middle of a water pipe break, crying out with a broken marriage and saying, what's going on? What's going wrong? And you need to hear the Lord speak to you. You've been trying to do it your way. It's time to come to me and do it my way. Maybe you need to have that sense that God loves you. There we go. We team up, Father and Son there. Thank you, Cameron. And we just need, so I'm just going to invite us to stand to our feet. And those of you that are at home or watching this by video, there's a simple time. This is an opportunity right now. Somebody could come to Jesus right now. Somebody could come back to God right now. somebody could receive a nudge right now. And somebody could turn the corner right now. Somebody could say, Lord, I've been writing my story. I'm going to put the pen down. And I'm going to ask you to start writing the story. Lord, there's some pages here that I've messed up. I'm just going to hand them to you. And you can rewrite them with your grace. So, Lord, we bow before you. We thank you for the gifts that you place within the body. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Bentles. And thank you, Lord, for their open heart and for the grace that you poured into their life. Out of their experiences, there are people this morning that and have watched this video and are watching it. They have felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They have felt the presence of God. And they have felt something touch something in their spirit. Down in their mind, their will, and their emotions, down in their soul, there's been an encouragement that's been launched into them. It's come like a bolt out of the blue. Or there has been a sense of everything's going to be okay that's settled over them. Lord, I just pray right now that somebody would bow their heart before you and say, I want to know this God of heaven who loves people so much that he would let them know about Jesus, that they could be born again and they could be walking with him to know what it's like to take up their cross daily and follow him. Lord, I'm praying for the one that's feeling desperate and wanting just to have everything be over. And I'm praying for encouragement. I'm praying for a release of hope and something to just happen like a bolt out of the blue or like the nudge of a security guard that doesn't need a key card to get back into the building. Lord, you are so good. And there are people, there are lives that are hanging in the balance. There's people who need a word of encouragement. There's somebody that can hear this story and come to your story. Because your story is the foundation behind it all. We give our heart and our life to you. We give our issues and our problems to you. We give our past, our present, and our future to you. Lord, we ask that you'd come and take up the pen again. Maybe we've taken it from your hand. Maybe we've nudged you aside. Lord, we just come to you. We ask that you'd begin to again write the story within us. Make it my story, your story. Let them merge together, Lord, and may you receive the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord's grace and peace be upon you. I know that at 4 o'clock today we're still on, ladies' Bible study, guys' Bible study. Other than that, the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. The Lord be with you as you go.